TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Myron on Hoops with Myron Metcalf.
Myron Metcalf back here on Score North, scorenorth.com. Myron on Hoops with Manny Hill, the one and only. There's a lot to talk about in basketball, but I feel like this is probably the biggest thing. And, you know, the T-Wolves, it's over, right, in terms of there's nothing happening in the postseason.
Nope.
They're not going to close that seven-game gap.
Yeah, that pipe dream is gone, baby.
So then you got to go if you're a Timberwolves fan. What do you hope for? You know, what do you invest in right now? Clearly, there are a lot of moves that need to be considered this offseason, the draft. You know, where are you in the draft? Can you get a solid player if you somehow end up 9-ish, 10-ish? Can you get someone who can come in and help a team right away?
I think that's going to be really important for them to do that. If that's where they end up in the draft, it's going to be really important for them to get an impact player. Maybe not a star, but an impact player.
I just don't know that this draft has enough. I mean, the guys I talk to at the next level don't think this is a really strong draft. A lot of guys think that this is a draft that you've got Zion, who, oh my goodness, you see him last night?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Listen, man, I don't know if the movie is done or not, but y'all need to put Zion in Avengers Endgame. Because that's the only way you're going to beat Thanos is if you put him in. But, you know, Zion, and then it becomes a number of potential projects, if you will. Like even an R.J. Barrett, who I think is really talented and can come in and be a good scorer right away in the NBA. I don't know that he has some of the nuance you need and how he's going to respond when he's not the go-to guy. A Cam Reddish, who is still being floated as a top five pick, I don't think he's been consistent enough to justify that. We've talked about Ja Morant. Those are the guys though in the top four or five where you go, okay, they won't be on the board. But beyond that, I mean, if you end up with a Keldon Johnson from Kentucky, I think he's good. I don't know that he comes in and he plays right away and he helps you. But I do think you can be happy right away with the development of Karl Towns. And Zach Lowe at ESPN put out his, one of my favorite pieces, the 10 things I like and don't like, including Towns' absurd scoring. And he goes through just a number of things that a lot of T-Wolves fans already know. The T-Wolves, Manny, have been a top three offense with Karl Towns on the floor since December. I mean, they are amazing. He's that good. Here's the paragraph that got me, Manny, that I want you to respond to. Towns is the league's best hope for a sustainable, old-schoolish, inside-out offense, even a tick above Joel Embiid. He can do pretty much anything from any spot below the foul line, and that versatility makes him unguardable one-on-one. He is a slightly better passer than Embiid with a lower turnover rate. Those are strong words, man.
Mm-hmm.
And am I crazy to think that we have reached a point where you wouldn't give up Towns for Embiid? Or is that ambitious?
I think the conversation exists now.
Is it crazy?
I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's crazy. I think for the main reason, I remember a few weeks ago when we had this conversation about, you know, how many guys in the NBA would we trade Karl-Anthony Towns for, and it was a very short list. I do think, to your point that you made about Joel Embiid that day, is I think the one thing that makes you think about it is the injuries, is the durability concerns with Joel Embiid. Now,
yeah.
I still think that if Joel Embiid is healthy, he's better than Karl-Anthony Towns overall. Yeah. The overall package, I think he's better.
Yeah.
But I do think the durability concerns that Embiid has had, going all the way back to playing at Kansas, I think those concerns are real, and I think they're very fair. And I think if you tell me you're going to take Towns over Embiid, I would still take Embiid right now. But if you told me you were going to take Towns over Embiid just simply for durability concerns, I would not blame you one bit for that. Like, yeah. I totally get it.
I don't know that the Sixers aren't a lesser team, though, if they have Towns right now, right? I mean, that to me is, like, the most remarkable element of his growth. By the way, Would you rather have Towns or Embiid? What's the number so people can call in?
651-646-8255.
Call in. I'm curious to see what Timberwolves fans think. But the fact that it's a conversation, Manny, that means a lot. I'm all about perspective when it comes to sports. And I grew up in Milwaukee, where I know Minnesota folks feel like they've had all of these horrible sports moments. You all have had horrible sports finishes. You've been right there and missed the mark. You didn't have Magic Don Mikowski. You didn't have moments where you just didn't even get to that point. You weren't sitting at the Mecca for a Bucks game and Andrew Lang on a fast break shoots it against the side of the backboard. You didn't experience these childhood altering moments, right? So I've been there in terms of being like, man, how do we get better? But I think the Timberwolves fans have to embrace the idea that, you know what? There's a lot of stuff we don't know. Who's coming back, right, after this season? Who will they keep? Because there are a lot of question marks there, clearly. What's going to happen in the draft? Where will the Timberwolves draft? And the player that we won't mention, what will he do? All those questions are valid.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool to be in a position knowing that you've got a guy who, in terms of players in his age range, is clearly top 4 or 5 right now, if not higher. And that, to me, is an amazing starting place because you don't know what's going to happen this offseason. You don't know what you're going to get, but you know that you've got someone you can build around. And that's how a lot of these teams who are now contenders, that's what they had. Golden State Warriors had Steph Curry. Added pieces around him. Look at what the Bucks are doing with Giannis. I'm not saying it'll work. I'm not saying that they'll get some free agent or some draft pick or make some sort of offseason signing that changes things, but you got to feel pretty good having Karl Anthony Towns in a position where people are saying, you know what? Embiid, probably better, but it's at least a conversation, Manny.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think if there is one thing the Wolves have going for themselves right now, it is that they have Karl Anthony Towns and that they have him locked up for 5 more years. I think the biggest key, though, is building a roster around him. And I think with where they're at financially right now, it's going to be very, very difficult because you have this huge contract of Andrew Wiggins still on your books, and you have to find out what you're going to do with that. Rather, if you're going to have to attach an asset to, you know, send that contract elsewhere, or if you're going to try and hope that he gets better, which, as you already know, I have my doubts about that.
Yeah.
But I think that this draft, wherever they end up, is going to be really important for them to, rather they trade that pick or use it wherever it may be, that they've got to land an impact player, because otherwise their margin for error right now for improvement and to build this team into a contender with Karl Anthony Towns, their margin for error is very, very, very slim. And I don't doubt that they can find that player, but they have to. And it's interesting because Danny Cunningham and I brought this up on Raised by Wolves yesterday, the latest Raised by Wolves, episode 177 on scorenorth.com, by the way, if you haven't checked it out yet. But we talked about how you look at the Denver Nuggets and where they're at. The Nuggets didn't, if you look at the way their roster is constructed, there aren't any number one overall pick, number two, number three overall picks on the Denver Nuggets roster. Their best player, Nikola Jokic, was a second round pick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Gary Harris, you saw Gary Harris play at Michigan State.
Yeah, man.
You know, look at the kind of player he's turned himself into. Will Barton. You know, Jamal Murray was a lottery pick, but I think he was like the 6th or 7th pick in the draft. He wasn't a top 3 lottery pick. And, you know, Paul Millsap is, you know, the veteran presence on that team, and he wasn't a high draft pick. Like, they have done a great job with finding guys in the later parts of the first round or even in the second round and developing those guys. And that's the problem that the Wolves have right now, is that they have not done a good enough job. Whoever's been in charge, they have not done a good enough job of finding players and developing guys that can help them long term. That's kind of why, I mean, having Towns is fantastic and We all love Cat, and he's great. And but they've got to find a way to, you know, start developing more of these younger players, and you know, and not put themselves in situations like they're in with Wiggins right now with this contract, and they're not getting anything out of it.
Yeah, it's difficult to look at that T-Wolves payroll for next season and to see Teague, who can pick up his $19 million option, which yeah. We'll see if he does. Gorgui Dieng, $16.2 million set
two more
next
years.
Season.
2 more years of that
17.2 after that. It's 27.2 for Wiggins. I think I said that. Mm-hmm. Then Carl's Supermax deal kicks in, 27.2. You can't escape the impact of a Wiggins, but, you know, Denver's paying Paul Millsap $29 million this year. They've got a team option for next season. It's the guys below Jokic and Millsap who, you know, Harris is making $16 million or so, Will Barton $11 million, Jamal Murray, who's going to make a ton of money in a couple of years. They still got him on his rookie deal.
Yep.
If you can get some of that young talent, you're right. But you need a strong enough draft to make that happen. And I don't know. Let's say a Bol Bol is available, right? Let's say you decide that you want a complimentary piece in the paint, a seven-footer, bigger than 7 feet, a guy who can stretch the floor. He can hit threes. The kid out of Oregon coming off an injury, didn't play most of the season as a result.
Mm-hmm.
But you want a guy who can be sort of a versatile enigma, if you will, and be kind of fun and fascinating. Does he really change this team? Maybe. I mean, is that the kind of guy you want? Because those are going to be the kinds of guys that you're talking about if you don't end up getting a top five or six pick. And that's the difference in a draft like this, is we can talk about, you know, a lot of people will cite the Giannis draft, right? And they'll cite, okay, Giannis to the Bucks. The Bucks are geniuses for figuring out, you know, what happened, what the guy, who he was, and finding sort of the hidden gem of that class. But I think if you go back and look at it, I mean, the guys at the top, based on how they played, we figured that an Anthony Bennett, who had been dominant, that it would translate. Obviously, Oladipo was the second pick in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. Otto Porter is been okay. Cody Zeller. I mean, there are a number of players. Nerlens Noel is finding his footing again, but he obviously hasn't lived up to the hype. A number of players didn't turn out to be what we expected. But I don't know if this draft has the guys like a Giannis at a 15, you know, Tony Snell at 20, a Tim Hardaway Jr. who's made so much money at like a 24. I don't know if they have those kinds of guys who might be able to come in and help. I don't know if this is that draft. So if you don't have a top five or six pick, Manny, do you take that pick and try to turn it into a proven player? Because I think that might be the position that the Timberwolves are in.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, that's, I think it would depend on who you're moving that pick for. You know, but the other side of that coin, though, is if another team has that impact player and they're looking at this draft the same way that you are looking at this draft, are they going to be more inclined to trade for that pick? Would they want that pick? You know what I mean?
That's
why I think if you're the Wolves, I mean, I think if you can move that pick and get an impact player in to pair with Cat, I think you do it.
Yeah.
I think you absolutely do it. But I think the other side of it is you just have to – I think you have to hope if the Wolves don't get – especially like right now they're sitting at – I think they have the 13th best odds of getting the top pick. If you're not picking in that top three or top four and getting one of those Duke guys or Ja Morant or something like that, even those guys you have question marks about. But I think if you're not going to get one of those guys – if you end up with the 12th or 13th pick, you got to hope that whoever that is, and I have no idea who that could be right now, you got to hope whoever that is ends up being better than you thought. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and that's
what you have to hope for.
And I think that's going to be the challenge with the T-Wolves getting better in this draft, because let's say they're saying we need a point guard, right? So Ja Morant, he's going to be off the board. He'll be mm-hmm. a top two or three pick. Let's say you decide, okay, Coby White of North Carolina. I really like Coby White. Mm-hmm. I think he is a talented player. He's really carried North Carolina. I don't know how he projects to the next level. I don't know that he'll be a great player.
It's hard to tell.
I mean, below him, Darius Garland at Vandy hasn't played most of the year.
He got hurt.
All year because he got hurt. I mean, ACL.
Was it ACL or
MCL? It was a significant knee injury that cost him a season. And I don't know if I'm picking that guy to potentially run my team at some point. If, you know, I haven't seen him play at that collegiate competition. You know, you got guys like Charles Bassey who, you know, left Western Kentucky. Romeo Langford, who's been kind of up and down for Indiana.
Yeah.
There are a number of projects. Jared Culver is a guy I like at Texas Tech. I don't know, you know, if there are any guarantees in this draft. And that's, to me, that starts with Zion Williamson. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's one guarantee in this draft. And that's why it's going to take the Timberwolves. First, they got to have their GM situation solidified, right? Yep. Like, you can't go into that draft.
That's going to be a big part of it. That's going to be a huge part of this.
Yeah. You can't go into that draft. And we've talked about this on the show, Manny, about getting someone sort of outside the box. I actually kind of worry about that when it comes to the draft. Because I think if you find a Giannis, you look like the greatest GM of all time, the greatest executive of all time. But more likely than not, when you reach, it costs you. And I don't know if you bring in someone and go, okay, you need someone who thinks outside the box and, you know, they end up with a Bol Bol, let's say, because they think they're going to turn him into this 7-2 inside-outside threat, and he's going to help the team immediately, that could backfire as well. I don't know if I would want someone, Manny, who feels like he's got to prove a point in this first offseason, because that's how big-time mistakes can be made if you're not prudent. You want him to make good decisions, but you don't want him to feel like he's got to get hit a three-run home run right away, and then he gambles away some valuable opportunities just because he's trying to make his mark.
Well, and Giannis was a project. Nobody.
Very true.
Nobody knew who Giannis was.
Very true.
Nobody knew who Giannis was. It was just, who is this, you know, who is this six? I mean.
I didn't know there were brothers in Greece, to be honest. I didn't know. there's a brother in Greece? Let me get over to Greece. I didn't know.
But let's look
at
it.
Do I got family over there? Let me see if there's some Greece folks at my next family reunion.
But Giannis was the 15th pick in 2013. If you redo that draft, he's the first guy taken.
100%.
100%.
And Anthony Bennett isn't even drafted,
probably.
He might not even
not
be drafted.
Not even drafted. So, yeah, I mean, that is the challenge. And you look at some of the other guys in that draft. You talked about, you know, Victor Oladipo went second, and he's turned himself into a good player. And hopefully he, you know, he had a pretty significant injury earlier this season, and hopefully he can bounce back from that, because I like Victor Oladipo a lot. I root for him. But, you know, Otto Porter's okay. You know, but you got, you know, KCP, and okay. C.J. McCollum's a good player.
But even he was like, no one knew he'd be.
No, yeah, and there were question marks about him because I think he had broken his foot or something like that.
And so didn't play against high major competition in college.
Yeah. I mean, think about this, Myron. 2013 NBA draft. You know who won the Rookie of the Year that ensuing season?
Who?
Michael Carter Williams.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, my goodness.
The 11th pick in that draft. Carter Williams was the Rookie of the Year in 2014.
There is a lot of 2013 written all over this draft, man.
And you could even go back to 2011, okay, the Kyrie Irving draft. Okay, Kyrie goes number one overall. Okay, fine. We know how good Kyrie has been. Got Kemba Walker at 9, Klay Thompson at 11, Kawhi Leonard at 15.
Yeah, nobody knew.
Nobody, I mean, but people that Jimmy Butler at 30.
Nobody, but I'll tell you what. Kawhi had to me the benefit of that draft was
going
the
to San Antonio.
Yeah, well, the NBA was changing, and guys like Kawhi, who weren't as valuable that year, suddenly became more valuable as we went to sort of this positionless basketball, right? And a guy like that was perfect for that.
Personal defender.
I don't know. In this draft, when I go, okay, you know, let's say Virginia, Ty Jerome is a player I really like. He's a guard, big kid, 6'5". I think he's pretty good. I don't know if he is an elite NBA guy who can lead this team. I don't know, but you need someone who is smart enough to know, who's making those decisions. You need a coach So hopefully that's cleared up. If it's Saunders,
situation matters.
You want to, yeah, you want to make sure that Saunders and that team and this fan base knows right away if he is the guy, because you don't want to go into the draft uncertain, not really being aware of what you are going to do and who's making those decisions.
Because how good is Kawhi if he doesn't go to San Antonio?
Oh, it's a different. It's a different.
It's probably a different situation, right? Now he's probably still good.
Yeah,
but is he? You know, in the conversation for top five player in the league, good.
Yeah. Clay with Steph.
Yeah. I mean, Steph.
Steph. Yeah.
Steph like, himself.
Yeah. I mean, system matters a lot. But I think my original point, playing with Karl Towns.
You got something.
Should make you better. You should be a better player because you're just going to have more space playing with a guy like that.
Could you imagine this team without Karl Anthony Towns?
Dude. We might be able to go up to like LA Fitness and find seven dudes,
this. If they didn't have Cat right now, their chances of getting Zion Williamson would be much greater.
Yeah.
Much greater.
Yeah. But then it'd be like Zion playing five positions. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine if Zion comes here? Like, what if something crazy happens?
If the Wolves win the lottery?
Yeah, what if something crazy happens?
Boy.
My goodness. That would be
fun.
That'd be remarkable. Hopefully he can make it to the state fair. We are going to be back on Score North, scorenorth.com after this.
.com. It's Phil Mackey here from the all-new Score North on 1500 and scorenorth.com. We've made it easier than ever to find our team-centric Minnesota sports podcast. Wherever you subscribe to podcasts, just search Score North, that's S-K-O-R, and you'll find Score North Vikings, for instance, which includes Purple Daily, Purple Podcast, and Vikings Ventline. Score North Wolves includes Raised by Wolves, Myron Medcalf on Hoops, and more. Score North Twins includes Touch 'Em All, Royce on Baseball, and more, and so on. Just search Score North, S-K-O-R, wherever you find your favorite podcast.
Stand back. We don't know how big this is gonna get. ScoreNorth.com.
And Myron Medcalf here on Score North, ScoreNorth.com. Manny Hill. We're gonna talk about the NCAA tournament and the Gophers. Feel free to call in. What's the number?
651-646-8255. Yeah.
I'm going to say something to Gophers fans that I'm not sure I've been able to say for a while. You have nothing to worry about on Selection Sunday. How about that? The Minnesota Golden Gophers are an NCAA tournament team.
I agree.
There is no question about it. There will be no mystery. There won't be a bunch of suspense. This is a team that has done the things you need to do as a bubble team to enter Selection Sunday comfortable. I mean, as comfortable as possible. And you got to give Richard Pitino credit. I've been the first one to be critical of him when I felt like he's fallen short. And his run here, man, he hasn't been great. I mean, I don't want to get people too excited. But
can't argue against that.
I mean, but taking a team like this, where there are a whole lot of reasons, you know, in some of the losses and stretches this season where you thought there's just no way they're going to be a tournament team, to finish the way that they have, that's what you got to do. I mean, you can go back and look at the games they didn't have, the games they lost that they should have won. But the bottom line is they went into the final weeks of the season, especially after losing to Rutgers.
Oh, yeah.
Where you thought, listen, you got to make it happen.
I thought when they, I'll be honest with you, I thought when they lost to Rutgers, I thought they were done.
A lot of people thought the same thing.
Because you still got Purdue on the schedule and Maryland and all that. And yeah, I thought that was it for them.
So you go and you beat Northwestern, right? On the road.
Yep.
Then you go and you beat Purdue at home in the most significant game of that stretch, because now you beat a team like Purdue. And to me, that's just not a win that other teams around the country, they don't have. The bubble teams around the country don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I still felt like, you know, after losing to Maryland, I didn't think that really hurt them. I mean, you lose to a good Maryland team, a top five seed on the road, I think you're okay. But I felt like you can't lose this Penn State game by like 9 or 10. And really, you lose it, that might make you a bit nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to beat Penn State, which is a quadrant one win, because it's a top 50 win in the net on a neutral site. They were 49 yesterday in the net. They have jumped to 47, which is interesting. But that is definitely a quad one win for the Gophers, and it will remain that way. And that's impressive. There are a lot of reasons to criticize Richard Pitino, but this isn't one of them. I mean, to me, if you look around the country at the bubble teams, St. John's got destroyed by Marquette, you know, put themselves in a really, really difficult position. The Indianas, I mean, what are they going to do? There are a number of teams on the bubble where you go, man, they just have not really helped themselves. But Minnesota is one of those teams. And I have to say, as someone who does this for a living and watches a lot of basketball, I've been impressed by the way that this team has finished a critical stretch and really willed their way into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, no, it's been good. And like I said, you know, after that game they kicked away in Piscataway a couple of weeks ago against Rutgers, I thought that was going to be it. Because even at that point, I felt like, okay, well, they can go to Northwestern and win, but they're not going to beat Purdue and they're not going to beat Maryland. So that was it. You know what I mean? But you turn around and you get the win at Northwestern, which I think a lot of people thought that they could get. And then you turn around and beat Purdue at home. It's impressive. And it got them to where they're at right now. And now it's, I mean, they're in. At this point, now it's just, you know, depending on what they do the rest of the Big Ten tournament, and they're going to play Purdue again tonight, and we'll see how that goes. But, you know, depending on what they do in the Big Ten tournament, I mean, it's just sort of icing on the cake right now. You're just seeing if they're going to end up being a, you know, maybe a higher seed and get a more favorable matchup in the tournament at this point. But, yeah, I mean, I think when you consider, you know, some of the things that the team has had to deal with this year and not having a point guard, and you know, and listen, I've been at the forefront of saying that is on Richard Pitino. The fact that they did not have a point guard going into this season, that was on Richard Pitino. This is his show. He's running the ship, so it falls on him. But I think considering the circumstances and the way the roster is constructed, I think for them to get into the NCAA tournament is a pretty significant accomplishment.
Yeah, and to go into the season, just feeling comfortable. I mean, there's no going to the Selection Sunday. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're good. I'm going to read off the stats of this player in the last four games, man, and we'll put a little Jeopardy here. Tell me who you think this Minnesota Golden Gopher is. Northwestern, 31 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists. Purdue, 32 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Maryland, 23 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists. Penn State last night, 22 points, 3 rebounds, and 5 assists.
That is Amir Coffey, isn't it?
Ding, ding, ding. Do we have a bell? We don't have a bell. Do we have a bell?
Let's see if I can.
Did they not give us a bell? Does Phil Mackey not think enough of me to give me a bell sound?
I got this.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll take it.
Over to the applause from the crowd.
I'll take it. I think Minnesota, even as probably a 10 seed, right? Now, I mean, if they beat Purdue this afternoon, tonight, maybe it's a different conversation, Manny.
Yeah.
But I think they're in the same position that a number of teams are facing entering the NCAA tournament. They got one dude who really can be the difference, mm-hmm. right? There aren't that many complete teams in college basketball today. Yes, there is the Duke and the Tennessees and Gonzagas and Kentucky. Those teams have depth that I don't think that you can, that any team can really match. But I'm even watching Texas Tech last night against West Virginia, a team that had no business being there. And Jarrett Culver couldn't buy a three.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of waiting for him to find some magic down the stretch of that game. I mean, a Purdue is a really good team, but let's be honest, if Carson Edwards doesn't show up, they're out in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Minnesota has a guy in Amir Coffey who can be that elite player, who can be that kind of NCAA tournament hero, help them get through the first game, and then potentially be a hero in the next game. Now, we all know Minnesota could lose by 25 in the first game, too. But Coffey has shown me enough signs that he understands who he is. He understands his role and his significance. And at the end of that game last night against Penn State, I mean, he almost got into that altercation.
Yeah,
I was loving it because I was like, yeah, that's hard. You're 6-for-17 and 0-for-5 from the three-point line. Right? You show some fire, man. Show that you still want it. Then he comes out in overtime with that crazy dunk. That's the kind of dude they need to say, everybody roll with me. I'm trying to help myself. I'm trying to help my team, and I'm trying to put a great ending on this turbulent season. Amir Coffee, I'm not going to be shocked if he puts up 25, 30 points in the first game of the NCAA tournament. I think he can be that guy.
Well, that's what it's going to take, right? I mean, if this team is going to make any noise in the postseason at all in the NCAA tournament, if they're going to win a game or two, which is I don't think is impossible if you get the right matchup, I think it's definitely possible. But that's the kind of performance from Amir Coffee that it's going to take, right? I mean, Jordan Murphy has had a really nice career as a Gopher, and he's, you know, obviously he's going to try and go out the best way he can, and he's been a big part of the program for 4 years. Good player, you know, but to me it just feels like Amir Coffee has to be the guy that is, if they're going to make any noise in this postseason, he's going to have to be the bona fide, undisputed catalyst to them going on any sort of a run if they've got a chance.
Yeah, I agree 100%, and I feel like there are a number of teams in that boat. Like, I don't know how strong this field is. Like, I think Duke is remarkable. Gonzaga, Virginia's really good. But I don't know, outside that, maybe North Carolina, Kentucky in that mix, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many, oh my goodness, that team is a great team. LSU is sneaky. They're struggling with Florida right now. But, I mean, that's a team that has some real talent. But
at the start of the year, we thought it was Duke, right?
Well, yeah, and I think
we thought it was Duke, but
it was last night with Zion being Superman. But let's see if he can keep it up. He hasn't played a lot of basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, does he get winded? Is he in shape? I don't know. But Wisconsin, if Ethan Happ struggles, they're out in the first round.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's that simple. Florida State, Terrence Mann has to hit a crazy shot last night in order to win that game against Virginia Tech. Kansas, if Dedrick Lawson doesn't put up 25 and 12 points, they're going to be in trouble too. I think you can look at a number of teams throughout the field and go, Minnesota clearly isn't as good as a lot of those teams. They haven't been as consistent. They got a lot of gaps. They're not a great shooting team, which really hurts you in a tournament like this. But they're also one of those squads where you go, you know what? If our best guy gives us 25, if he can play the way that he's capable of playing, we got a shot. And that's a place where everybody outside the top 7 or 8 teams, I think they're in the same boat.
Yeah, I think with Coffee especially, I mean, to me, I feel like with Coffee, it's going to take really some superhuman performances, which I think he's more than capable of doing it because he's shown it already, especially down the stretch in the season. But it's really going to take, to your point, 25, 30-point performances, you know, certain moments late in the game where he makes a play. I mean, when you look at a lot of the close games the Gophers have won this year, it's been because he makes something happen. You know what I mean? He makes a big play down the stretch late in the game, a big shot, a steal, a dunk.
Yeah.
You know, and you said it. I mean, he plays with so much emotion when things are going right for him, especially, he plays with a lot of emotion and a lot of fire.
Yeah.
And you can see a lot of the other guys on the team can feed off of that too. The question I have is if they get to the NCAA tournament and he gets off to a rough start, like he did last night against Penn State. He got off to a rough start against Penn State. Now, he finished the game really strong in that.
That was an ugly start.
Yeah, it was a bad start for him. You get to the NCAA tournament and you're playing up against a team that's probably better than Penn State. If Amir Coffee gets off to a rough start, can he get them, can he, you know, turn it on? Can he turn on the Jets and get going and turn on one of those superhuman performances that we've seen him do over the course of this season? That's going to be a big thing that I'll be watching for. If he gets off to a rough start, and can he, you know, put that behind him and still will the team to victory?
Yeah, Joe Lunardi in his latest bracketology. By the way, I'm on campus at ESPN in Bristol. I have not seen Joe Lunardi. Like, I don't know where they hide him during this time, but he's in
a cave somewhere.
He actually does, man. He has a
bracketology cave.
There is something on campus, but like, it's a secret. Like, people won't tell you where he is. Like, that's how secretive he is. Like, they won't tell you.
They don't want anybody going up to him and saying, Joe, what's your bracket? What do you think of this team?
Man, they
can't. Where's this team going to go?
Dude,
does this matchup work?
That's the thing. They will not tell you And I'm talking about like people I know. I mean, I work with Joe. They won't tell you where he is. But right now his bracketology has Minnesota in Jacksonville as a 10 seed against Wofford as a 7. Now, Wofford has been sort of the team where you go, man, a team from the SoCon, a mid-major that played its way in the at-large status. Lost to Carolina and Oklahoma, beat South Carolina, lost to Kansas, got killed by Kansas, lost to Mississippi State. You know, there's no real like amazing win on their schedule. Mm-hmm. They've just been consistent, and they were really dominant in league play. Can Minnesota compete against a team like that? Sure they can. Mm-hmm. You know, now that Fletcher McGee, that boy bad. I mean, that cat, I mean, don't let looks fool you. I mean, that dude will run you off the floor, and he's making like, the problem is they got four dudes or like four or five dudes who are all making like 42% of their threes. Like that's the challenge.
You better defend the 3-point line against them then.
You got to defend it. But that doesn't feel like a crazy matchup.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Minnesota can, if you get the best out of Amir and Jordan and the rest of the crew, you might have a chance in that opening round. But you have to give them credit. I think the Gophers credit for getting to, I think, this point. What's the number again?
651-646-8255.
I want to know from fans, Richard Pitino, Ryan Saunders, who has been more impressive to you? Or maybe neither one of them have been impressive. But in terms of those two coaches, which one, if any, has stood out, especially with what's happened down the stretch of the season? We'll be back after this.
Tell everyone that we met online. ScoreNorth.com.
Celebrate everything Minnesota and run your first race of the spring with the Hot Dash 5K and 10 Mile at Boom Island on Saturday, March 23rd. You'll earn a Storm Creek long sleeve quarter zip technical pullover and finisher medal. Enjoy a steamy serving finish line hot dish and cool down with a free post-race beer. Visit tcmevents.org to register for the Hot Dash on Saturday, March 23rd.
Welcome back to Myron on Hoops. Manny Hill, Myron Metcalf here in the final segment. I was talking about Ryan Saunders and Richard Pitino going into the break. What grade would you give those two?
Ryan Manny? Saunders and Richard Pitino?
Yeah, yeah. What grades would you give each of those guys?
Richard Pitino, I would probably give him a C+. C plus slash B minus.
Why?
I think getting to the tournament, I think, helps his grade a lot. I think getting this team to the tournament helps, because I think it was an expectation for them this year, and they've achieved that expectation. It looks like they're going to get into the tournament. It's down though, because it's down a little bit from like an A or something like that, because I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I think the roster construction overall has made it harder for them to get to this point. It's made it more difficult for them. Now, it's great that they got in, and they deserve credit for getting in, but I think the fact that how this roster is currently constructed, I think, made it very, very difficult for them to get in, and that's kind of why they're at the point now. But I think, you know, with where they're at, considering everything that they've gone through, I think it's still a pretty solid accomplishment for them to get in. And it was an expectation, and at the end of the day, they've made the tournament, so they've lived up to that expectation of getting into the tournament at least. Ryan Saunders, it's a little bit harder for me.
He hasn't had as much time. Yeah,
he hasn't had as much time. It was a really, really awkward situation that he, you know, was sort of put into, and I'm sure he's embraced it, and he's been looking for this opportunity, obviously, for a long time. And, you know, a lot of people around the league like him and think that he has – think that there's high hopes for him as a head coach in the NBA long term, but it's hard for me to really judge how he's done so far since taking over, because they've dealt with a lot of injuries. Their best defensive player, Robert Covington, has not played since he's not played in 2019. Basically, yeah. The last time Covington played was New Year's Eve, I believe.
That's been a problem.
2018, yeah, and he's their best defensive player. And you look at what he's able to do for them offensively by spreading the floor, being a 3-point threat, that has hurt them offensively as well. And we've seen just how bad they've been defensively without him being on the floor. So it's hard. I think when you look at, let's see, they're 32 and 37. So he is 13 and 16 since Tibbs got fired.
Yeah.
I think when you consider the circumstances, it's, yeah, I'd give Ryan Saunders probably a, I think I'd give him a solid B.
See?
A solid B.
You are a tough grader, man. I would have failed all of your, I would have failed all of your classes, man. Goodness. No, I'm with you. For the reasons you mentioned, I actually give Ryan Saunders an A.
Sure.
Because to,
I think
to,
it's fair.
To me, what was the task? Kind of just to make sure this ship didn't sink completely. And there was a significant stretch where we were talking, do they have enough to close the gap and to get that eighth spot? Whether or not that was realistic, it was still a valid conversation for a portion of the season under Ryan Saunders. And I feel like to even put them in that position, to have all the injuries, Covington, to have all the stuff you're dealing with, and to be that young of a guy, I feel like he achieved his mission. I think you can go into the 2019-2020 season, insert Ryan Saunders as the official head coach,
mm-hmm.
and I think people will say, you know what, let's see what he can do. Let's see what he can do with the full year under his belt. Now, mind you, as we talked about, GM situation has to be resolved.
Yeah.
Personnel question marks that just have to be answered at some point here in the coming months, and we're just not going to know until we get past the draft kind of what this team is really working with. But Ryan Saunders, I feel like, has put himself in a position where you say, you know what? It's not crazy to give him a deal and let him be the coach next season. And
if I were a betting man right now, I would say he gets the job.
Exactly. But I think the perception of that.
I'd put a lot of money on that right now, actually.
Well, I would put a lot of money on it as well. But I think the difference is you could see how he could get the job because Glenn Taylor has just decided he doesn't feel like conducting some big search in the offseason. He's just going to put him there because it's convenient. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the easy answer. I think Ryan Saunders has gone from the convenient choice, the choice that, you know, people aren't going to criticize. He's Flip Saunders' son, to a guy where you actually look at him and go, you know what? I wonder what he would do as the head coach having an offseason with Andrew Wiggins. I don't know that you can fix Wiggins, but I feel like Ryan Saunders and his relationship with him, I'm curious to see what happens. I want to see what he does with Towns going forward and if he continues to improve. Once they have this roster solidified, how does he change things? I mean, Tyus Jones, you know, let that dude cook, man. Because last night against Denver, I mean, he looked like, to me, a starting point guard. Against Denver, as well. Like, to me, he's on that road trip so far, he's looked like that kind of guy. And I just, Ryan Saunders to me is the kind of guy who can look at a Tyus Jones and go, okay, I'm going to give this guy a chance and he's going to be a better player as a result of it. So that to me has been the most impressive portion about Ryan Saunders. And I have to give Patino a B because anytime you get to the tournament and also save your job, I think that's significant. And I think that's what he just pulled off. But, you know, this was a team, this was a city where, Manny, a month ago, Forget 6 months ago. A month ago, we didn't know if the two major basketball teams in this city would have the same coaches next year. We didn't know how this would all unfold.
Yeah.
At a minimum, you could say, you know what, if Mark Cole comes out and says, Richard Pitino made the tournament, this is our coach next season, we'll see what happens after that. I think a lot of Gophers fans will say, yep, that makes sense. Ryan Saunders, if he's named the official head coach of this team, I think a lot of T-Wolves fans will say, yep, that makes a lot of sense. Everything's not perfect, but that is the first step in having some sort of stability. They at least won't have to answer those questions this offseason. Having a coach is a starting point. Now, from there, with Layden and all that other stuff, that's to be decided. But
yeah, and that's going to be a big part of it, Myron.
It's huge. Wolves,
that, you know, the decision maker, the front office decision maker is going to be a huge person. And typically, I mean, most of the time, if you're bringing in a new GM, that, you know, if you've fired your coach and you're bringing in a new GM, you typically allow the GM to make the decision on who the next head coach is going to be.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to be, if Ryan Saunders gets the job, it's not going to be that sort of a situation.
It ain't going to work.
Whoever the next GM is going to be, if Scott Layden's not back, which there doesn't seem to be any indications that he will be back, you know, that person, whoever that person is going to be tied to Ryan Saunders, at least at the start. And that person is going to have to make some decisions with the roster. And, you know, Ryan Saunders is going to need to have a voice in that conversation. You know, Tyus Jones is going to be a restricted free agent this summer. You know, another team can swoop in and offer him, you know, sign him to an offer sheet, and the Wolves would have a X amount of days or whatever to match that. And the Wolves would have to make a decision on, you know, how they view Tyus Jones. You know, do they see him as a starting point guard or as the point guard of the future? That sort of thing. That's something that's going to have to be talked about and decided between, you know, Ryan Saunders, if he's given the job, and whoever the new GM is going to be.
That is definitely an important question. A lot of unanswered questions, but I think if you're the Gophers, if you're the Timberwolves, I think you have your coach for next season. I want to end on this. Tyus Jones and Trey Jones put out an Instagram post recently about Deb Jones, their mother being diagnosed with breast cancer. I'm close to that family, Deb, and, you know, covering Tyus Jones in high school and even when he was in eighth grade, that changed my career, Manny. I mean, ESPN saw some of the work I did, and I'll always have that connection to that family. Just a great family overall, not even just, you know, the kids and Deb. I mean, the whole extended family.
Yeah.
Just a really tight unit. So, you know, definitely thoughts and prayers with the Jones family and Deb Jones, and looks like they call it the breast cancer that she was diagnosed with early. So definitely want to wish her the best and wish them the best. It's just a terrible disease, man.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to end on a bad note, but I just saw that and just wanted to say something because that family is, you know, in our profession, we are not supposed to get too close to the folks we cover. And there are always exceptions to that. For me, it has been the Jones family and just, you know, the connection I've had with them over the years and seeing that news, I reached out to Deb and said, hey, you know, definitely in your corner. And she obviously is a fighter and, you know, you hope for the best. But I think it's important to consider those things sometimes and how they impact young people. And, you know, the Jones family is dealing with sort of a difficult thing. But I really, really hope for a positive outcome for Deb Jones, for Tyus and Trey and the entire family there. As always, I'm thankful I get to do this, Manny.
Yeah.
Another Friday, Myron on Hoops. It's really the Manny and Myron show. Thanks for joining us. We will be back next week.